Let's take it now to the second step. And even though you say that you started utilizing the test after the first data set, as I was talking to breast cancer research leaders in medical oncology, I saw a lot of question marks after that first data set. I didn't really honestly see that many people sort of jumping on board. But when the second data set got presented at December 2004, I saw a big change in the oncology research community. Can you talk about what the second study looked at?
You're absolutely right. And I think initially everybody said, oh, maybe that's a good tool, it's been validated prospectively, it predicts for risk for recurrence, except you could say, okay, well, the patient may have a 6.5 or 7% risk for recurrence, but if you would apply about a 25 to 30% reduction with adjuvant chemotherapy, you may still get a benefit of 1.5 to 2%. And some patients would be willing to take chemotherapy for that small risk. So the next step was to see whether the recurrence score goes above and beyond prognosis, but maybe it will give us prediction of response to therapy. And there was a good reason, obviously, to look at that because the recurrence score contains genes that have been associated traditionally with response to therapy. For example, low ER positivity versus high ER positivity. We know from neoadjuvant chemotherapy studies that ER negativity has been associated with higher rates of pathologic complete response. Studies have shown that high proliferation and poor nuclear grade are factors that have been associated with chemotherapy response. HER2, in some studies, has been associated. So there were genes in the recurrence score that made us think that maybe it would be more than prognostic. So the next step was to go back and try to assess the benefit from adjuvant tamoxifen and benefit from adjuvant chemotherapy according to recurrence score. And we did that with the two studies that we used to develop and validate the recurrence score. First, we looked at the B14 study. And this was a study comparing tamoxifen to placebo. So we ended up having about 645 patients. We had blocks that were randomized to tamoxifen versus placebo, and we can do recurrence score. So the whole idea was to see whether the benefit from tamoxifen would be seen both in low, intermediate, and high recurrence score patients, or whether there would be differential benefit from chemotherapy in these three groups. And the data turned out very interesting. Turns out that patients that have a low recurrence score and those that have an intermediate recurrence score do benefit from the addition of tamoxifen significantly. On the other hand, patients that have a high recurrence score seem to have no benefit from the addition of tamoxifen. Now, you can take this data with a grain of salt, of course, first of all, because there is some uncertainty because the numbers are relatively small. And also the threshold for using hormonal therapy is much lower, obviously, than the threshold for using chemotherapy.
So if there's kind of even any question about it because of the toxicity ratio, right, probably going to use it anyhow.
Right. So I haven't changed my practice to avoid giving hormonal therapy in patients that have high recurrence score.
I think we should also clarify that this data set was looking at both premenopausal and postmenopausal patients.
Exactly. And of course, was looking at tamoxifen. Now, you can actually start thinking based on this data. And for example, why do patients have high recurrence score? Well, they usually have lower PR, high HER2, high nuclear grade. And therefore, this may be the patients that may benefit from aromatase inhibitors if they're postmenopausal. So I'm not willing to give up hormonal therapy for these patients, but certainly I would think, at least for postmenopausal patients, that would be a good group to be more biased towards the aromatase inhibitors versus tamoxifen.
Now, the other thing that this new analysis looked at that really kind of blew a lot of people's minds was the effect of chemotherapy. Can you talk about what was seen there?
Yes, and that was the more important finding. And again, to do that, we went to a study that the NSCBP did following the B14 study, and this was protocol B20. B20 compared in non-negative ER-positive patients tamoxifen alone to tamoxifen plus two regimens of chemotherapy, either methotrexate and 5-FU or CMF. For all practical purposes, both chemotherapy regimens performed equally well and better than tamoxifen alone. So the overall trial had shown about a 30% reduction in recurrence.
And this trial was done a while back.
Way back. It was done from the mid-80s to late-80s.
And in fact, actually, those two regimens, CMF and MDF, are not even utilized that much anymore.
Not much anymore, I agree. Although they still have some good activity, as we see, particularly in premenopausal women. In the B20 study, premenopausal women got almost about a 50% reduction with CMF or methotrexate 5-FU, and about a 20-25% reduction in postmenopausal women. So we looked at the benefit of chemotherapy again according to recurrence score, and it turns out that patients that have low recurrence score received no benefit from chemotherapy. In fact, at 10 years, the distant disease-free survival rate was 96% on tamoxifen alone and 95% on tamoxifen plus chemotherapy. Patients that had intermediate recurrence score also did not seem to have much benefit. The 10-year distant recurrence-free survival was 89% with tamoxifen alone and 88% with tamoxifen plus chemotherapy. However, in that group of patients, the confidence intervals around the estimates were somewhat wide, so we could not exclude some benefit. And in fact, the odds ratio was about 0.6, so it could be up to 40% reduction. We could not see it in the study, but it could have been there. So we cannot say much about the intermediates at this point. But what was very interesting was that pretty much all the benefit was seen in the high recurrence score patients.
And that was just, what, about a quarter of the patients?
It was about a quarter of the patients. And in those patients, the absolute improvement in distant disease-free survival with chemotherapy was 28%, or a 75% relative reduction in the odds of recurrence.
So what are the actual numbers in terms of recurrence?
The group that received tamoxifen alone at 10 years had 60% distant disease-free survival, and it was 88% when they received tamoxifen plus chemotherapy.
And those numbers were totally shocking and, I guess, completely unexpected.
Yeah, it was. We've never seen such differences in any subset of patients with breast cancer. And I always like to quote what George Sless said when he saw this data. He says, this makes CMF look like a targeted regimen. And in fact, that's true. In other words, we found a signature predicting for huge benefit to a regimen that otherwise was almost ready to become obsolete.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I think the other thing was, it was almost, I hate to use the word paradigm shifting, but you know, you guys have shifted a number of paradigms over the last 30 or 40 years. We always had this concept of relative risk reduction. The overview had sort of ingrained that in people's mind. That's the way oncologists had always counseled their patient. This is your absolute risk. Here's the therapy. It's going to have some kind of relative risk reduction. And they just applied it across the board. So they kind of multiply 30%, 50% times the absolute benefit. This is the first major study that said, hey, that may not be the way to do it.
Exactly. And, you know, we all talk about relative reductions and absolute reductions. And from my standpoint, obviously, both are very important. But the absolute improvement, it's a clinical factor we all have to use to make decisions about treating patients. But the relative reduction is actually a factor of biology. Because when this study shows, for example, is that we can prevent 3/4 of the recurrences. So we really only have about 25% more to go to actually declare victory. So it's very interesting when you think about it, that a study, an agent such as CMF or a chemotherapy regimen can actually reduce 75% of all potential recurrences.
So now that we know in this population, ER positive, node negative patients who are getting tamoxifen, that we can identify a quarter of those patients are going to get a lot of benefit from chemotherapy, half the patients who won't get any benefit, and sort of a quarter which we're not really sure about, probably not, but I guess we don't really know.
Right. And we're now in the process of finalizing the design of a new study. Josh Sparano is leading it through ECOG, and all the members of the intergroup will participate, so-called the PAC trial. And the PAC trial, its design is to actually look at intermediate recurrence score patients and actually randomize them to chemotherapy with hormonotherapy versus hormonotherapy alone, just once and for all, prospectively, to see whether these patients benefit from chemotherapy, because we still have doubts based on the data.